It helps diagnose and fight lung cancer. So we're discussing ion bronchoscopy. Our guests, Dr. Evan Fountain, a pulmonologist, and his patient, Mary Frances Harmon. This is Health Matters from Southeast Georgia Health System. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Dr. Mary Frances, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Joey. Looking forward to the conversation.
Absolutely. Same here. We appreciate the time. First for you, Dr. Fountain, why, in a nutshell, would you say it wound up being healthcare and specifically pulmonology for you as a career?
Gosh, you know, I think from an early age, it was just that passion to help others that led me this direction. And then pulmonology specifically, because when I started my intern year, I was in the ICU and I fell in love with critical care and taking care of the sickest of the sick patients. And then to parlay that into a career in pulmonary, it just made sense because you're managing people who are on life support, on mechanical ventilation. And so I've really fallen in love with pulmonary over the years and truly enjoy taking care of people with lung nodules and asthma, COPD, pulmonary fibrosis. It's very rewarding to be able to give people back that breath that prevents them from being able to do the things they love.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So, doctor, what first brought you to the area?
Well, so I grew up about an hour from here in Glenville, Georgia, and my family vacationed on St. Simon's at the King and Prince for every summer since I was probably 3 or 4 years old. And so it just seemed like a natural place to come back and practice and live. And we love living on St. Simon's. Got two kids, and it's a wonderful place to be.
Absolutely. Mary Frances, you also work in healthcare. So tell us, please, what it is that you do and what drew you to that?
Yeah, I've been in healthcare in the pharmaceutical and biotech industry for the past 40 years now. I currently work in a small biotech company that focuses on rare diseases, and we work really closely with patients and their families that are living with rare conditions. I was drawn into the medical field, gosh, ever since high school. I loved science. I got my degree in medical technology, where I worked in the hospital lab for a few years, and I just loved being around the patients and the healthcare systems.
That's awesome. And what brought you to the area?
My husband and I, as we were starting to plan for our retirement years, we just fell in love with the Golden Isles and St. Simon's. I went to school down in Jacksonville, and so I was really familiar with the area. We just fell in love with St. Simon's and moved here about 8 years ago.
That's great. So let's talk about this case. And Mary Frances, after blood work shows high cholesterol, you have a routine heart scan. What was it like eventually learning it revealed a shadow or a spot on your lung?
I didn't think anything of it. I thought COVID had come and gone. We hear all kinds of stories about the long-term COVID and scarring. I'd also had some thyroid. I have low thyroid levels, and I had shown some markers for some inflammation. So I really didn't think anything of it. I thought it was just something that would go away.
And Dr. Fountain, when you first see that cloudy area, sometimes called an infiltrate, right? You don't rush to biopsy it, from what I understand. So why is it common to wait some 90 days or so to see if a spot like that will maybe clear up on its own?
You and Mary are right. The vast majority of infiltrates or even nodules in the lung are often benign. And like Mary sort of alluded to, COVID or other infections, whether viral or bacteria, or even inflammation oftentimes can cause these infiltrates in the lung. And more often than not, they will resolve if just given time. And so it's very common practice to wait maybe 8 to even 12 weeks to repeat a scan. And hopefully in that time frame, we see that that nodule or infiltrate or cloudy area in the lung just resolves on its own without intervention.
And Mary Frances, with many years in pharmaceuticals, you know the behind the scenes with medicine, so to speak. So did that knowledge make you anxious when you saw that funky area on your scan?
No, if anything, it probably calmed me because I knew that it could be a host of different things and not to let my mind wander and not to start to think the worst. So I really didn't panic. And I know when I spoke with Dr. Fountain, you know, he was very comfortable in waiting a few months until we repeated it and said, even if it is something, it's not going to harm anything to wait. So I really did not panic.
And actually, you survived uterine cancer prior to this, that was in your 30s. So what was your first reaction upon realizing you were now facing cancer for a second time?
It was really daunting. In a way, I said, perhaps my first cancer helped me save me from my second cancer, because I do remember saying to Dr. Fountain, my body makes cancer cells. I know that. So I think that was maybe one of the reasons, too, that we moved a little faster and didn't maybe wait and try some antibiotics and other things. I beat it once. I could beat it again. I knew that it was early. And so I really had confidence in the therapy and the treatment plan that we put forward.
Wow, that's great. And Doc, how about when a patient has that kind of an outlook? That really helps, doesn't it?
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, Mary was calm from the get-go, but also importantly, together we were vigilant in that we followed this area. And then when the area did not resolve, given her history, we took action to try to figure out, hey, what exactly is causing this? Is it infectious? Is it inflammatory? Or is it maybe something more? And the way to do that was to biopsy the area.
And doctor, can you explain now for us in a nutshell, in layman's terms, of course?
Sure.
The ion bronchoscopy, it's robotic assisted, it's non-invasive. And why was this specific technology needed to biopsy Mary Frances's right lower lobe? And how did it allow for a stage 1B diagnosis rather than waiting for the cancer to progress?
That's a big question. So the robotic ion bronchoscopy is minimally invasive. It is an endoscopy, not terribly dissimilar from having an upper GI or lower GI endoscopy. No cuts or incisions are made. It does require general anesthesia, so Mary was put to sleep for the procedure. Once she's asleep, I can take this robotic catheter, which is an ultra slim catheter. It measures about 3 millimeters in diameter, and I can drive that catheter under the guidance of a three-dimensional CT map down into her lungs and navigate that catheter into the right lower lung, specifically the superior segment, which is a very small segment of the right lower lung. And that's why the catheter was so critical, because it allowed me to get to places where I otherwise can't get to with a regular bronchoscope. The area is too small to access. So with that ultra slim catheter, I can drive it straight to that infiltrate. And once I get there, I can put my tools out to biopsy, needles, brushes, even forceps, which we can grab larger pieces of lung tissue with. And it just makes it very easy to do. The recovery, the procedure itself takes 30, 45 minutes. And then the recovery is pretty much just waking up from general anesthesia. And if everything goes well, home the same day. Complication rates from this are few and far between. Probably one of the most feared potential complications is a pneumothorax, and that occurs in less than 3% of cases with this technology. So really great, minimally invasive, and something that I think Mary would tell you the recovery from was very easy.
Well, you're right here, Mary Frances. So why don't you tell us about the recovery? And that minimally invasive part, I know, was very important to you, right?
Yeah, the minimally invasive part was. And I think because there was no recovery, no downtime, it was really just to do the procedure. I didn't put it off. You know, had I had to do something that was more invasive that needed some downtime, I probably would have put it off. You know, work gets in the way, or just life. It was the holidays. You know, I may have put it off until the next month, but I didn't, because it was so easy. And the recovery was very, very simple. In fact, it was the holidays. I went to a party that evening. It was really a very simple procedure. And like Dr. Fountain said, it was the worst part was just waking up and feeling a little groggy. Took a quick nap and off we went. So it was easy.
And doctor, I've got to ask you, it's pretty amazing, isn't it, that stuff like this goes on now, where you can do so much work so intricately, and yet person is home within 24 hours, back to doing their normal routine. I know that lay people like myself find it incredible. How about a doctor like yourself that's actually involved in this? Are you able to take a step back and really appreciate how remarkable stuff like this has come in recent years?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's cutting edge technology. It came out actually as I was training in my fellowship as pulmonary. So as of 2019, I think when the product launched, I was one of the first people to start training on it under the mentors that I had at University of Augusta, or what used to be known as Medical College of Georgia. So very lucky to have gotten so much training on this. And honestly, we're very lucky to have this technology here at our hospital. It's normally something that's available at larger centers. And the fact that we can offer it to our patient here, it means the world to us because we can diagnose and treat so many more people than we otherwise would be able to.
Now, Mary Frances, obviously finding the cancer early turns out to be a blessing for you, but chemo, still a mountain to climb involved in the picture here. So what about your professional knowledge working in pharmaceuticals in the medical field? What about that, if anything, helped you navigate your treatment and stay resilient?
Fortunately, I didn't have to have a long drawn out chemo regimen because it was so early. It was more of an insurance policy. So it was not as extensive as it could have been. But having worked in the industry and all, I knew that there were so many advances in the treatment and that there were so many therapies out there to combat side effects. And that if I just was open and honest with my care team, that they would be able to help manage those side effects. So I wouldn't have what you so often hear, the horror stories of the side effects of chemo. And I did. I was very open with them. So I would get extra fluids. And if I knew my body and I knew when things were not as they were from one course to the next, I would communicate that with them. And so that really helped out a lot.
Absolutely. Dr. Fountain, you have worked, of course, alongside the oncologist for the chemo treatments. And so how vital is that team-based approach in modern cancer care these days?
It's absolutely critical. In fact, every 2 weeks here at the hospital, we have a tumor board that meets together to discuss patient care. And it's pulmonologists, surgeons, pathologists that look at the biopsies and determine what sort of cancer it is. It's the oncologists who treat the cancer. We all get together and kind of decide, hey, what's the best plan of approach to treat this patient? Because treatment spans the gamut from surgery. And when you have a stage 1B cancer like Mary had, it's surgery, but then it's also adjuvant, or meaning after the fact chemotherapy. And like Mary said, it's an insurance policy to hopefully ensure that this doesn't come back, that when you have surgery, that you cut it all out and it stays gone, right? So that chemo really just kind of cleans things up and gives you a less likelihood of having a relapse or having a recurrence after a resection like Mary had. So it's vital. Now, you know, you mentioned the ion technology being so great. The other aspect of this is, and Mary can attest to this, is pharmaceuticals. I mean, we have so many drugs to treat lung cancer now. We can target various mutations in a patient's cancer that might be specific to that particular patient. And there are numerous different molecules of drugs that the oncologist can be used. So having their input is vital in terms of treating patients and getting the best outcomes.
Couple of other things. Mary Frances, if someone joining us right now may be sitting on an abnormal looking scan result or may suspect for whatever reason that something is off, being a two-time cancer survivor yourself, having gone through this experience, what's your main message about taking that next step and not procrastinating here?
And that's exactly it. Do what is recommended. Don't put it off. I mean, the earlier you can catch something, the better your outcomes are. My first cancer was caught on a routine screening. There was no signs, no symptoms. And that, again, as well, was a very early stage. This too, I didn't put it off. I followed the recommendations of the doctors. I did the cardiac scan, which I could have easily postponed and put off. But I went ahead and did that. That's the two. Do your routine scans and don't put things off.
Absolutely. And in summary here, doctor, whether it's a patient, a physician like yourself, an advocate, what's your main message to those joining us about what we've discussed here?
I would say my main message would be vigilant about your care. Be an active part of going to the doctor, doing the recommended scans, following guideline treatment for any condition you may have. I feel it's probably important, even though Mary was not a smoker, oftentimes we're going to see lung cancer most commonly in our patients who are smokers. And so one of those very guidelines is that for anyone between the ages of 50 and 80 who've smoked a pack a day for at least 20 years, they should have a CT scan once a year to screen for lung cancer. And oftentimes it's during these screenings that we'll pick up nodules that may be concerning, may not, may need to be followed closer. And if it looks like there's any change or growth or concerning features, may need to have a biopsy similar to what Mary had in order to detect an early stage one lung cancer. And so it's very important to do the cancer screenings, particularly for our patients who smoke, because they are at higher risk than someone who doesn't. So that would be my main message.
Great advice indeed. Folks, we trust you're now more familiar with Ion Bronchoscopy. Doctor, keep up all your great work. And Mary Frances, thanks so much for sharing your story and continued good health to you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And for more information, please visit sghs.org/ion-bronchoscopy. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social media. And thanks so much again for being part of Health Matters, Southeast Georgia Health System.